I just heard a pop, boom, and I got hit. I got hit in both my left. It went in one of my leg, went in my left leg, but it left my left leg and into the right. So I got hit in both my legs. So I really couldn't move. So I hit the wall, and I turned towards the street, and I see dude like lift the gun, and I'm just like, damn, he's like, I don't know what to do. So he shot, boom, and I tried to weave it. I turned to the side, tried to weave it, and that's when it hit me like right above my left eye.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week, we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure.
I'm born and raised in New York. I lived in the Bronx most of my life. And my grandmother lived in Harlem, so I was in between the two boroughs my whole life. So it wasn't no school. I was down in Harlem when it was school. I was up in the Bronx. High school, I lived in Harlem, my grandmother's apartment. And I just kept going back and forth, like, you know, my whole life. So,
okay.
So I was born in the Bronx where Harlem raised me.
Got it. I feel like that. Has that been, I'm sure that's been said in more than one rap album from New York, right?
Could have.
Born in the Bronx, but Harlem raised me. Okay, and then so tell people, like, what do you do now? Like, what's your profession, man?
Now, I'm a social worker for young men of color at the Brooklyn's district attorney's office. So I go around giving presentations, and I exclusively work with those young men of color, finding resources, connecting them to programs, and, you know, go with them to court, whatever they need.
Perfect. And like,
how long have you been doing that?
This is my first job out of grad school. So I've been doing this since May. So my first job out of grad school. So yeah, since May, 8 months or so.
And so you just got your degree?
Yeah, I got my master's in social work from NYU. With NYU.
Okay.
So NYU is a good school.
Not like, too shabs.
Real good.
I'm trying to be like you, Trey. You know what I mean?
I didn't finish at NYU, man. I got to be honest with you. I just went for a little while. I still don't have that piece of paper from there.
Man.
So I know it's a real deal school.
That's legit. And then, and like, so you, I know enough of your backstory to know, like, you weren't always operating on like this side of the law, right?
Nah, not exactly. I mean, I grew up, like I said, I grew up between Bronx and Harlem. I had both my parents growing up, but it was always just kind of fuzzy. Everyone had their own agenda. It was like a split household a little bit. I always was with my mother, my brother was with my father. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of just a whole bunch of this craziness going on. So I chose to just spend my time around people that made me happy. And that was in the street. So, yeah. I mean, I got my first job like when I was 13 at McDonald's. Like my father was like the manager of McDonald's. And I remember like for my eighth grade graduation, I'm like, oh, what do you get me for graduation? He gave me a uniform and I had to work the next day.
A job.
I got you a job. I tell you what, I got the best gift any 13-year-old is ever going to get. Anything you can imagine you want, you can get it with this gift I'm going to give you. Welcome.
Yeah, for real.
Where was that McDonald's?
I was in Harlem on 132nd and Lenox. Oh, so man. Right there, of course, you're from Harlem Hospital. And I used to go in between. My father, he is like the manager of a few. So I used to go in between his location and that location. So I got a few extra hours a week when I wasn't supposed to.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What's the craziest thing you ever saw working in a McDonald's?
In Harlem, no less.
Oh, man. It was always this one woman used to come in there with a shopping cart. So at McDonald's, they purposely make the coffee extremely hot because they give free refills to senior citizens during the day. So if they make it extremely hot, they won't get that much. They won't come back for so many refills.
This is an insider McDonald's. Man, you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you say stuff like this, man. McDonald's is a big company. They make people disappear, man.
Yo, this is also how our podcast is only around for about 5 episodes. McDonald's gets wind of this and we're done. McDonald's, like, shut it down.
Shut it down. We're going to sue you. Defamation of character to our business.
Right. Me and Trey end up dead floating in the Mississippi River on some Michael Clayton shit.
Oh, I'll take
these
the
boys
blame.
Are bringing that coffee shit back up. Okay, but you were saying so they make the coffee purposely hot so the old folks want more than one cup.
Yeah, so this woman, she's always argued with the one guy who worked there, always argued with him, like, argh. So one day she just got super pissed and just threw the coffee at him.
No.
Oh, man, that was crazy. So I just ducked out the way and I kind of moved towards the back because I knew that coffee was hot. And, I knew it. And you know, they argued for a bit. He had to go to the hospital, but she got banned from McDonald's. So,
oh man,
that was crazy.
She didn't get it's like you say she got banned from McDonald's. I feel like you could arrest someone
that's
for
like
assault.
Attempted murder. That's like
attempted murder by coffee.
Right. But how are you gonna arrest the lady? Because then you gotta admit they made this shit hot as fuck. Like they knew it was that hot. So he's gotta take the L, and I'm sure like Michael Clayton went to see him in the hospital and was like, you were fine.
Fine. If you want to look it up, there's a really famous lawsuit about that. Some old woman got burned in a car. It dripped through the cup and she got burnt. And they sued her for like she sued them for, I forgot the amount, but like how much they make in like 30 days for like 3 days, something like that. She got like,
yeah, she got paid.
Mm-hmm, yeah, she got paid.
Yeah,
she got paid.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you started working when you were 13.
Yeah, I started working when I was 13. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I've got that in common with you as well. I was working as a caddy at a country club and then started valeting cars. What other jobs did you have? So like you worked at McDonald's with your dad for how long? Because that's also got to be one of those like,
yeah.
And my boss is a dick.
It's my dad.
I mean, Anthony, you already know from being down here that I work in my family's business. So some days you're like, oh,
God. Yo, I hated it because I'll get in trouble for school. And come to work and he's yelling at me like at work, like, yo, can we wait till we get home? Like, come on, man. Like, this is some bullshit. I quit. So, I worked there a few times. I worked at Burger King. I worked at McDonald's. I worked in a hospital putting on televisions and phones. I worked at Starbucks. I worked at a watch store. I worked at like a doctor's clinic. Like, I always had a job my whole life. I worked at Paragon Sports. I always had a job my whole life, but I just felt like it just was like, because back when I started working at McDonald's, minimum wage was $5.15. It was $5.15 an hour. So that was nothing. I worked like 20 hours a week. I was only getting paid like $70. That wasn't enough. So I would just go cash my check. And my boy lived across the street who sold Bud. I would just go get like a half an ounce. I'll just flip that. I just literally got a job so I could have a pay stub. So when cops stopped me, I just have paperwork.
Yeah. Really? Wow, that's a actual ingenious way to like be like, yo, wrong guy.
Not yeah, me. I got a job. What are you talking about?
Like Calvin's got a job.
Yeah, for real. It's legit. And then
am I remembering right that like at some point in your early teenage years you were like a pretty good basketball player?
Oh man, yeah, they used to call me Man Child. I was dunking the ball when I was like 13 years old. I had my first dunk.
Wow.
Okay. Like in a basketball game. So
not really you are showing up with your friends empty park dunking, like your first dunk in a game was at 13.
Yeah, first dunk in a game. I lived in Harlem, so the dudes we were playing, he was playing against like DJ Webstar and them. They made a few like songs back in the days, like Chicken Noodle Soup, all that stuff. But we were playing against them, and the refs didn't think I was really 13. Every basketball game I had to go to, I had to bring my birth certificate because they always thought I was ringing.
So you're carrying a birth certificate, you're carrying a pay stub.
Here's my W-2.
And you're carrying like a quarter. You are significantly grown up at 13.
I'm ready for everything.
And I appreciate this conversation because like every movie you've ever seen about like growing up in New York, kids are doing all this sort of stuff, and it's like, that's unrealistic. All that is not going on. Apparently, it is.
It's all happening.
It's legit, all happening.
Legit. I remember I got a steal, and my brother stood up. He's like, you better dunk that fucking ball. You better dunk that ball. And I went up with two hands. Boom, dunked it. Right before halftime. Everybody like, flooded the court. Ah, it was crazy. That was my first dunk in a basketball game. Yeah, that was.
And then they give you the nicknames Man Child.
Yeah, that was before. Yeah. Everyone now, they always say, oh, you look like LeBron James. Like, I don't know, but that was my first Man Child. Yeah, that was it, Man Child.
Wow. All right, well, that's incredible. So, did you play basketball all through high school then as well?
Not really. I played like on some outside leagues, and then I played like my freshman year of high school, but then I got kicked out of high school like my freshman year. So, I went to like 5 different high schools, and I couldn't really play on the basketball team because I was always misbehaving. So I just played ball like in the streets, pickup games, little basketball leagues, but I could never play for my school.
Shit. And that's like why I was asking the question earlier. Right now, you work with men of color, like trying to find them programs, trying to help them kind of get on the straight and narrow. But, and it's probably, you're probably super effective at it, having walked that path that they're walking now yourself before.
I like to think so, but I never try to make it about me, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's always about them. I always try to make it about them. I'm not going to be here like, oh, hey, well, when I was your age, I was the, because, you know, that, I don't want to speak to them like in a demeaning kind of way, or, you know what I mean? Make it seem like I'm better than them. So if it comes up, I always make some space. Like, you know what? After our conversation, if you really want to know what happened to me on my site, we'll make some time after our, you know, after our session, I can speak to you about it. But right now, I just want to focus on you. You know what I mean? But I always let them know, like, I've been where you were, like, you know what I mean? And I remember one time I was leading, like, this this group at this substance abuse clinic on one of my internships, and this dude just came from getting shot. And, you know, and I'm just listening to him speak, and I'm agreeing with him, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He tried to, like, make a joke out of everything, like, yeah, you saying yeah, 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 you don't know what the fuck is about. Like, I just got shot, And I'm like, well, that's how I lost my sight, brother. I got shot in my head, like, you know what I mean? So... And he was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. But, you know, they just, you know, a lot of people don't really know. A lot of people just think I wear glasses because they just think I'm a dick. You know what I mean? Right. They don't realize like I'm blind, you know?
And let's pause and we got to roll that back, right? Because up until this point, and it's kind of purposeful on our part, you know, the audience is sitting, they have no idea that you don't have your sight. You are blind.
Yeah, I'm blind.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they hear the stories about you dunking a basketball and all that stuff. Can we just kick from like the beginning, like walk us towards kind of that space of time where the events happen, where you lose your sight.
So like I was in the streets, you know what I mean? I remember I was in the streets and I'm two of my boys. This is the days where I was like finally about to give up the street life. It's me and two of my boys. I'm looking out the window. A fiend came. They want to sell. So my boy go downstairs, go handle it. He never come back. I'm like, okay. So his girl's calling me like, yo, where he's at? He's supposed to go to Applebee's. I'm like, yo, I don't know. He never came back. So me and my other boy go down. We coming out the building. Cops run up. They run up on him. They let me walk. And I'm like, oh, shit. So they're coming after me because they're coming after all three of us, obviously. So I'm walking home. I cut through the supermarket. I see the Denali coming after me. I see it. And they're kind of creeping, trying to catch me on the other side. I double back, go back up the block. I see one of my boys. I'm like, yo, just walk with me, walk with me, walk with me. Don't panic, just walk with me. So he walking with me. The Denali pulls up. For some reason, they just didn't hop out on me, which is fine. You know what I mean? And then I walked into my building. I had an all green pretty much, changed the all red. And that's it. I stopped hustling crack after that. You know what I mean? So fast forward to like a few weeks after that, I'm still selling like weed, I'm still selling pills. And I leave work one night. I fall asleep in my boy's crib. He like, yo, let's stay here. I'm like, nah, a couple dudes called me. I can skip up some bread. So I go to the Bronx. I hit my boy up. He wasn't answering the phone. So I'm outside, a few of my other peeps. And some dudes woke up. And they just like, yo, you jumped my boy like in this house party. And I'm looking at them because they're like 16 years old. I'm like 20. I'm like, nah, there's no way I'm even in a party with you. Like, why would I even be in a party with you, let alone like put my hands on someone your age? So we going back and forth. You know what I mean? So my idea is like, let them leave. I have like probably like an ounce of weed on me. My other boys, they hustling. I'm like, yo, let's let them leave because we all going to get locked up. Nobody making no money. Let's let them leave. One of my boys, he just going off. He just going crazy. Ah, whatever. Just screaming out a whole bunch of expletives. He's going crazy. And I just remember like, I just heard a pop, boom. And I got hit. I got hit in both my left. It went in my left leg. But it left my left leg and into the right. So I got hit on both my legs. So I really couldn't move. So I hit the wall and I turned towards the street and I see dude like lift the gun. And I'm just like, damn, he's like, I don't know what to do. So he shot, boom. And I tried to weave it. I turned to the side, tried to weave it. And that's when it hit me like right above my left eye. So it hit me above my left eye.
I'm sorry, this guy's standing above you? You're looking right
at
him?
Nah, he's standing like in the street. So he's like behind a parked car. So if like we're in front of a building, there's like the sidewalk, then there's a car. He's behind a parked car.
But I mean, you're just like looking at this guy who's looking at you, holding a gun right at you.
Yeah, he's literally, because he's aiming now. He just hit me in my leg. I get hit. I turn around. He's about to shoot again. I know he's about to shoot again. It's just like, when is he? I don't know. I can't really move because my legs, I just got hit in my legs. So I just have to try to dodge it or I'm just gonna get hit. You know what I mean? He's aiming at me. He shoot, pow. I tried to weave it. I got hit in the left side of my head. It's just the left side, and it came out through the right. But it was lodged in my head for a few months after that. I didn't really get it removed right away. So
the bullet was lodged in your head for a few months after you got shot.
Yeah, right below my right temple. So you like literally, if you saw me a few weeks after that, you'll see the bullet bulging out the side of my head for like a few months. So I remember I'm like, damn, it's over. Like I just got shot in my head. It's over. So it's a whole bunch of people around me screaming. I'm just like, oh man, this is not good. This is blood. I'm just filled with blood. It's blood coming down my face. It's blood coming down my legs. I take off my shirt. I wrap it around my head, try to stop the bleeding. I ask everybody to calm down. They're freaking out. I'm like, I got to calm down.
This is why you're still on the sidewalk trying to calm other people down. And you got shot in your legs and your head.
I mean, I just got shot in my head.
Right.
You could imagine the headache I have. So it's like, so with them screaming, it's like, oh my gosh, like you guys got to bring it down.
My ears are really ringing, guys. You know what I mean? Please.
Please.
Anthony, let me ask you, in that moment on the sidewalk, could you still see, or do you have any memory of like, had you lost your sight?
Yeah, I can see. I'm still standing. I'm still on my feet. I'm still on my feet. I'm telling them like, yo, just relax. So there's girls, so they're freaking out. I turn to my boy Los. I'm like, yo, like, where did I get hit? And he's just like, yo, I don't know. And I'm like, come on, yeah, not helping. Like, he's just freaking out. And I remember blinking once and it was good. I blinked again and it was gone. I couldn't see anymore.
And that's but I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Yep. My boy just freaking out. And I didn't tell anyone. I'm just kind of looking around. I'm just like, oh wow, this is not good. So my boy's grandmother will come up. She's like, yo, you gotta lay down. I'm like, I'm not laying down. There's no way I'm laying down. And she's like, don't worry, I'm on the floor. Just lay on my lap. I just lay on her lap till the cops come. They run my ID first to see if I had any warrants. Of course, I had a warrant. So I'm like, this sucks.
So the cops' response when they arrive to the scene and you're covered in blood. And
shot in the head.
Shot in the head. So let's see if you got warrants first.
See if you have warrants. This is because at the end of the day, they got to meet a quota, right?
Right, right.
So it's like, it's election year that year. That's the year Obama won. You know what I mean? So they're trying to meet their quotas. Obama won. Damn. It's a great year, right? So I'm laying down. And the ambulance finally come. They cut off my whatever. I get in the ambulance. And I'm just like, I'm still awake. I'm talking to, you know, my friend's grandmother. We're talking. They take me to one hospital. I can't get taken there. They take me to another hospital. And I'm just throwing up. I'm just kind of shaking. It's so cold. And I'm like, yo, I got to go to sleep. And everyone's trying to keep me awake. But it's like 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling people like, yo, I'm tired. Like I got to go to sleep. And they're like, yo, you got to stay awake. I'm like, yo, it's late. Like, I'm really sleepy. It's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, I'm tired. Right. And I went to sleep and I woke up and I'm like, oh, I woke up. So I'll probably be okay. You know?
Wow.
But like when you wake up, like you still can't see.
Nah, I can't see anything. I know it's people there. I hear people talking, you know, and there was a few people in the room. And, you know, my mom is there. She's talking. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. I'm good. I felt okay. You know what I mean? I wasn't, like, really any pain. And then she's like, can you see? And I'm like, no, I can't see. But I didn't know if it was, like, gauzes over my eyes or
right.
Whatever the case may be. I just you know, I couldn't see. So, you know, I'm talking to people. And then I move my hand. And I was, like, handcuffed to the bed. Oh shit. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. So whatever, they had to leave, and that's when the cops come in later on that night. Like, you know what? You know what I mean? You had a warrant for your arrest. So you know what I mean, you handcuffed to the bed, we can't let you go. You know what I mean? We're gonna be outside the room, no TV, no phones, no visitors, no nothing. You know what I mean? So I'm just in there for like a few days. I don't know what time it is. I don't know if it's morning, if it's night. I don't know anything. You know what I mean?
All I can think is just so worst case scenario, you get shot. Second to worst case scenario is you get shot in your head and you live and you're mm-hmm. blind. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and they're like, you're also under arrest.
Yeah, that's
not like, oh, shit. What?
Yeah, but it teaches you a lesson, though, because it's like all those times my mom was like, you know, go pay that ticket. You just got that ticket for like whatever it was, peeing in the street or like hopping a train, whatever it was. I just never, you know, I never took care of it. So now at the time where I needed people the most, I wasn't able to, you know, really have that support because of my poor decisions that I made. You know what I mean? So when that time when I'm in the hospital, I was upset, of course, but it was just like, you know what? This is your fault. And I'm pretty much like a solitary confinement. And I'm like, it's not going to get any worse than this. Like, you're in the box right now, handcuffed to the bed. It's not going to be any worse than this. You know what I mean? So while you're in here, just reflect, get it all out, gather your thoughts. Because when you get out, it's going to be better than this regardless. No matter what you go through, it's going to be better than this. You know what I mean?
Sorry, guys. To be continued. But check this out from the next time on The Truest Adventure.
Gotta be the truest. Must be the truest.
Yeah, so I went to the doctor a few weeks after that, and that's when the doctor was like, you're not going to be able to see ever again. And that's when it was like, you have to decide. Like, either you're going to live or you're going to die.